What's up, Subaniacs? Thanks for joining me today on the Ugly Duck Podcast. Real quick, I just want to give a shout out to our sponsor today. A portion of this video was sponsored by Constant Contact. Thank you very much. Today is a special episode because my guest is probably the greatest athlete of all time, and she also just happens to be my fiance. Lucky me. That's right, Lindsey Vonn joined me in studio recently, and let me tell you, it got real. Very, very real. So stay tuned, don't go anywhere. Before we get to Lindsey, we are going to do things a little differently today. I'm going to take some questions from you, and this is the part of the show where you guys get to ask me anything, literally anything. So, Mo, my producer, what's good?
We got some great questions that came in from the comment section.
What do people want to know,
YouTube
Mo?
Channel.
What do they want to know?
Let's get into it right now. Jack Zander asked, what's your favorite city to play in on the road?
Oh, favorite city to play in on the road? I'd have to say Toronto. I got my family there, you know, and the past couple of years playing in Nashville, only going to Toronto once a year. So I'd have to say Toronto. Being in the East is nice. A little bit closer to family, but I'd have to say Toronto.
Does it just feel big to play in Toronto?
You know what? It does. It does. You know, Montreal's still a little bit weird for me going back there. Still weird. You know, it's like it's tough to handle all those emotions.
Yeah.
You know, the hospital and friends, and it's always so riveting, you know, going back to Montreal. It's almost tough to handle, and it's so quick, so you dial in those emotions, and then you got to dial it back down again. It's always tough going there, but I'd have to say Toronto to see my family.
Joey Winthrop wants to know, why did you start playing hockey? Do you have a player who inspired you? If so, who?
I started playing hockey. My dad and my mom got me into hockey. They wanted me to play, you know, a sport that was really, you know, kind of reflected the country that I grew up in. You know, being in Canada, my parents moved. My dad moved from Jamaica. My mom moved from Montserrat. They moved from the Caribbean, and they wanted us to grow up as Canadians, you know. So even though I lived in a West Indian home, grew up on West Indian food, I played a Canadian sport and being hockey, and a player that I looked up to a lot of players. You know, I watched the best of Bobby Orr tape probably 1,000 times, you know, maybe more as a kid. And I always loved him. And then I got to meet him when I was 16 years old, and it validated everything that I thought of him from when I was just a little guy skating around the ice, playing Timbit hockey. So Bobby Orr would have been the player. And then obviously as a black player, you look up to the Jerome McGinleys and the Willie O'Rees and the Herb Carnegies. Those would be the players.
I saw a lot of your kids' videos. Sometimes you post them on Instagram when you were a kid.
Yeah. I could score a couple goals. Yeah, I could score. And the thing was, is I, you know, people always know a big part of my game is the power and strength of my game. Yeah. And I was one of the only kids that could raise the puck. Like, I remember at like 6-7 years old, I could shoot a slap shot from the blue line, red line, and hit the crossbar. Like, not too many kids could do that. So, you know, I loved playing hockey, and, you know, I loved the game because I was good at the game. You know, I worked at it, obviously, very, very hard. But, you know, as a kid, you love to do things that you're good at.
Green Eye Charmer asks, what's the hardest part of being a defender? Green Eye Charmer.
Well, you know, I guess what you can say, it's every night you're going up the other team's top lines. And, you know, I think that it's not so much that that job is tough. It's demanding. You know that you're going up the world's best players every night, and it's not an easy task. You know, you respect the job, you love it. I love the challenge of doing that every night. Because I feel like it's really a part, it's not the flashiest thing. It's not what makes the headlines after the game when you shut one of the other team's top players down, but it's something that your teammates respect. It's something that everybody on your team respects you doing that job. And, you know, it's hard because you got to block shots. You got to get physical with players. Sometimes players are bigger than you, stronger than you. So, you know, the game becomes more of a chess match. So it's never easy to do that job, but it's one of the most rewarding jobs for sure.
Ashley Poling asks, who is a player that continues to impress?
A player that impresses me, wow. You know, I really like Brad Marchand. He's just a player that I feel has just gotten better every year. You know, and it's a tough thing to do. You know, I think he's been around some great players. He's had some great leaders and leadership around him in his career. But I like the way that his game has evolved, and it's not easy to do that. Yes, there's a lot of skilled players in the league and very, very talented players. And you got to respect that as well. But I also respect players that continue to get better every year. It's a tough thing to do in the National Hockey League.
Second question from her, she wanted to ask, is there a favorite fan base that you have that is outside of the Devils currently?
Well, I mean, listen, I respect the fan base where I played before, and in Montreal and Nashville have great fan bases. You know, Montreal is where I started my career, and that's a fan base that pretty much everybody who's played in Montreal knows the feeling of what it's like to play in front of those fans, and it is special, you know. But I can tell you this, my experience in Nashville is second to no other fan base. I mean, it was special playing there as well. Going on that run, being in the Stanley Cup final, it was an experience. And
who would have thought that town was so hungry for hockey?
Dude, it's insane. When they get going, it's on. It's on, and it's a tough building to play in for an opposing team, but it's a fun building to play in.
Yeah, seems like a fun city. Gavin asks, what's the hardest part of your job off the ice?
Hardest part of my job off the ice is, as your career goes on, expectations rise, but responsibility rises as well. You know, I think the toughest part is not to put too much pressure on yourself to be a perfect human being all the time. I think it's okay to understand that you're not perfect. And, you know, one of the best parts about sports now is, obviously, with social media, you can show that you're not perfect. You can show really who you are. Instead of having people develop a narrative of who they think you are, you can show who you are. So I think that the toughest part is just showing people that you're a human being, just like them, you know. And I think I try to show that I'm just a normal guy. I'm like everybody else. You know, I annoy Lindsay just like everybody else annoys their spouse. You know what I mean? I have fun with my dogs. I enjoy working out, taking care of myself. But I also enjoy making fun of myself and having fun and laughing and just enjoying life. That's what it should be.
Gabe Fransom asks, what advice do you have for a new player when they're starting their hockey career?
Oh, just realize the opportunity that you have, you know, and not just the opportunity to play in the NHL and win a Stanley Cup or make a lot of money, the opportunity to just find out who you really are. You know, like I believe that, you know, players that come into the NHL from the age of, let's say, 18 to 30, like those are some really fun years. So enjoy it. Like, enjoy it, because, you know, I think a lot of people that get to the spot, I call it the spot. Once you get to the spot and you get to the show, athletes can have a tendency to put way too much pressure on themselves.
Right.
It's easy to want to have the success that a Lindsey Vonn has had, or that a Tom Brady has had, or that a LeBron James has had. But not everybody can be PK Subban. Not everybody can be LeBron James. And I'm not putting myself in that category, but I'm just saying that we look up to athletes that have had so much success, and we always compare ourselves to that. Just be your own person, you know. Strive to be the best person that you can be, the best athlete that you can be. And be happy with that when your career is over, because you're still a part of that 1%, and not everybody can be that person. So just enjoy it and have fun.
Quick question for you. As someone who's a historian of the game, obviously coming into the league, I'm sure for the first time, you had so much reverence and awe for what you were stepping into. At what year did you finally kind of feel like it became natural and normal to be a player in the NHL, and you could just be you and not have that outside pressure?
I'm never really comfortable. I don't like to be comfortable. I never feel that when I feel comfortable, I'm at my best. Or, you know, I always feel that when I'm uncomfortable, I'm at my best. So it's like a double-edged sword, I guess you could say, is that everybody's like, you know, people need to get off PK's back and, you know, and let him just be and let him just be. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, those people also continue to push me. They continue to put wood in the fire. And it's not that you want to, you strive to your career to prove people wrong, but it's always good to have that internal competition. You know, it's always good to have critics. Like, everybody looks at critics as a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's okay. You're not perfect. You're going to make mistakes. That's okay. Keep it simple.
And finally, to wrap up our first Q&A on the podcast, Hawks fan 88, I wonder who he cheers for, wants to know, what has been the best moment of your career thus far?
I don't think I've had it yet. You know, I refuse to look back and just and relish in just the highlights of my career so far. Like, why do that when you have an opportunity to make new ones and better ones? So I believe that, like, I haven't had my best shift yet. I haven't had my best period yet, my best game, my best season yet. And if you believe that you have, then hang up your skates, you know? That's the way I approach it.
It's great. Well, that wraps us up.
Hey, fans, thank you for submitting your questions. You guys are awesome. Keep them coming. It's great to hear your feedback. Lindsey Vonn is putting me in the hot seat in just a second, and that seat's hot. Stay right there. Thanks to Constant Contact for sponsoring this portion of the podcast. Constant Contact is a great resource to grow your business. They are a trusted partner in email and social marketing, and it's made easy by world-class support and education. Their powerful and easy-to-use tools help anyone look professional and do more business. The people in marketing expertise provides unmatched guidance, support, and education to help any business, regardless of experience, to achieve its goals. You don't need to be a designer or even be a tech savvy to have a professional looking branded website. Their site builder creates a personalized and mobile responsive multi-page website for you in just a few minutes, complete with images and guidance on content. They have all the tools to help you sell online. Whether you're just getting started or you're already using an e-commerce website platform, Constant Contact will help you get more sales from new and existing customers, find new customers, and keep inventory moving and cash flowing with expert retail marketing advice. Constant Contact is accessible, insightful, efficient, and effective. You'll get the result you want. Constant Contact is easy to use. So click the link in the description to get found online and sell more. Thanks again to Constant Contact for sponsoring this portion of the video. Now back to the podcast. 82 World Cup victories, 3 Olympic gold medals, and the most beautiful smile on the planet. Please welcome to my podcast, the beautiful Lindsey Vonn. Welcome to the show, Lindsey.
Hello.
Hello, Lindsey. Carl.
Pernell Carl.
Sylvester.
Lindsey Caroline Kildow Vonn.
No, the Kildow is squash. I was married before, if you want to talk about.
You know what? Well, actually, that's one of the first. Hold
Kildow
on.
Kildow is my maiden
kitchen
name,
call
so
early.
We can just, you know, let that go. But Vaughn's kind of like my stage name at this point.
Do you want to go into that since we're talking about marriage? Do you want to start it off and tell us about.
I don't really want to talk about.
Well, you brought it up. Listen,
you said Kildow, but that's not. That's next.
Okay. Well, let's keep it Lindsey Vonn for now.
Yeah.
Okay. Lindsey, can you tell the audience, Subaniacs, everybody watching, they've heard my version of it. I think people pretty much know where my head's at and what the script was from my perspective. But can you walk everyone through the very first time we met?
Okay.
Yep.
Did you explain it on the show or are we just going to do
it? I've explained it in interviews, locker room. Guys have asked me, friends have asked me. I've told the story a million times, but I think everybody wants to hear it from you, unfiltered.
Okay. Well, I was at the ESPYs, mm-hmm. and I was with a boyfriend at the time that was not you.
Okay.
And I was waiting on the red carpet, and I heard on the jumbo screen live on television, you say, it's hot out here, but not as hot as Lindsey Vonn looks tonight.
Is that a thirsty? I don't know. Is that thirsty? I think it's.
I would say if there was a thirst trap, that would be it. Yes, that was it.
Okay.
And so
go
then
on.
You put me in a bad position because mm-hmm. then my boyfriend was like, who is this guy? I'm like, I have never met this guy in my life. And then lo and behold, my good friend Jill Smoller is your agent.
Shout out to Jill Smoller, best manager in the world. Yes. And Jill, why don't you tell the audience about the connection with Jill and. Why it was an interesting way that I kind of introduced myself to you. Really, it didn't make any sense because at the time I did not know that Jill knew you for what, 10 years?
Well, I didn't know that you were Jill's client. Jill just said that she had this hot new NHL player that was just crushing it.
Hot, and he played in the NHL.
I mean,
she's right.
Hot isn't like, you know, skilled. I don't know if maybe think that's, I don't know if she alleged, meant hot, allegedly, as in, but like, yeah, good looking.
Okay.
But your suit definitely didn't help you on that day at the time.
Rare moment.
It was a tough suit. I had not seen you before, so I had nothing to reference, but I was definitely taken aback by the pattern that was on it. Anywho, then you got me in trouble. Then I found out that Jill was your agent, and I was like, Jill, you could have warned me, like, put a muzzle on your client. And then you came over and were like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I'm just telling the truth. My boyfriend's like, who the hell are you?
Did I look like that when I delivered that? It was probably out of a Denzel scene in some movie where he had that look on.
No,
I gave you the Denzel eyes.
No,
mm-mm. I'm pretty sure I did.
I don't know.
There was eye contact, but
I'm not sure. Okay. Yeah. I think that was might have been in your head. I think it was more of that, you know, the series of events after that really were on your side, not necessarily the first moment. First encounter.
We'll go into that, the series of events after.
Well, then the next day we had the Nickelodeon Kids Choice Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Jill, wow, you're a much better agent than I thought. How'd you get this guy in here? So then you came in and then you were like, you clearly knew that I was giving you the cold shoulder because I had a boyfriend. And so you went and hung out with my sister.
Yes.
And you went and hung out with my sister. I was like, oh, wow, this guy really, yeah, he's a real winner. He's going to go right for my sister.
There's dudes taking notes right now. Keep going.
But yep. Then you were really just, you got her number, but not to hit on her. You were just trying to get to me.
Back door.
Yep. It was you're going for the long game, you know? And I think you did a really good job of that because when it came down to it, when I was broken up and single, my sister was the one that said, hey, he's a really nice guy. You should, you know, check it out. And if it weren't for my sister, we definitely would have been dating.
So, nice guys don't always finish last.
Did I say you were the nice guy, though?
Well, your sister said I was a nice guy.
Your sister did say, but I didn't say, so.
Okay, well, let's pivot. Thank you for doing that, by the way. I think the fan base and everybody really appreciates it.
It's a different side. Different side of the story.
Different side of the story. But let's fast forward now. It's been almost 3 years.
That's 2.5. I think we're at a 2.5 point.
Yeah, we're 2.5.
Yeah.
Got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the date?
It's almost been a year.
Do we remember the date?
Was it August
17th?
I think so, yeah.
It's between the 14th and 17th.
Somewhere in there, approximately.
Okay.
Roughly.
We got engaged and we're supposed to get married July 4th. What happened?
Well, we were still debating July 3rd or July 4th, but anyways, obviously coronavirus happened and we are not married. And we have no plans to get married as of right now. We're just kind of waiting to see what happens with everything. But I had everything kind of picked out, had everything kind of ready to go, but never able to pull the trigger. So we'll just have to wait and see. Your family's stuck in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We can't go to Canada.
Nope.
Well, you can. I can't. My family definitely can't. So it's not a lot of options currently.
Okay. So we're talking about marriage for the future. Let's break it down, though. Let's get into our relationship a little bit because.
Oh, okay.
Well, let's do it. Why not? I mean, we're here. I think that we start this podcast to get into cool stories and get some insight from people that you wouldn't traditionally get anywhere else. So.
Bear joined us.
Let's talk about marriage, Linz.
Okay.
So we're looking to get married, but I want to talk about our relationship and a little bit of how we sort of come along the past 2.5 years, approaching marriage now. Why don't you give some background into our fans and what you think our relationship has been like over the past 2.5 years?
I think it's been great. I think quarantine has been good for us to spend extra time together.
Mm-hmm.
I still would like to drop kick you sometimes.
Okay.
I think
roundhouse.
You would, yeah, to the face. I think you would kind of like to do the same to me often. But I think it's good for us to be forced to be together. I mean, not that we're forced to, but just to be able to learn how to communicate better. You know, I feel like at least for my fans, a lot of people think that we're perfect. And that's definitely not the case. You know, we definitely have our issues just like anybody else. But I think that, you know, we've definitely grown a lot together, especially over the last 4 or 5 months. And I think it's good. You know, I think everything happens for a reason. So we'll just take this time to get to know each other better. And when the time is right, then we'll get married.
Can we talk about COVID for a second? because I think that every relationship out there has gone through some stuff during this time.
Well, yeah, I think divorce rate's got to be crazy high right
through
now.
Through the roof, yeah. I'm assuming. I mean, through the roof. I haven't seen any numbers. I don't know stats, but have spoken to some people that have had a little bit of a bumpy ride. What has the experience been like for you first personally? Like, forget the relationship, and then maybe address the relationship and what it's been like for the both of us. Maybe I'll even jump in and give my two cents as well.
I mean, personally, you know, I think I'm actually busier than I was before. Mm-hmm. I think you are the same. I think it's given me an opportunity to really explore what else I want to do after skiing, which I already had a pretty good idea, but to be able to have the time to sit down and really go through it and figure it out and map it out. And, you know, I think it's been really productive. Sometimes I feel like, though, it's so busy and so confined that there's never an escape. Like, you never have downtime because mm-hmm. it's always working. You're always in the same space. But yeah, I mean, I think everyone's just making the best they can out of this time. And I think it's forced us all to slow down a bit, which is good. But in our case, I think it's accelerated a lot of things that we've put on the back burner because now we've had the opportunity and time to do it.
100%. I couldn't agree with you anymore.
AKA the podcast.
AKA the podcast. You're exactly right. For me, it's been probably one of the best times in my life. And I say that not with everything that's been going on, obviously socially and in communities and all the suffering that's been going on. That's the tough part to see and to want to celebrate around. But for me personally, to be able to slow my life down.
Well, you know, you always go a mile a minute and your brain also goes a mile a minute. So it's nice. I think it's forced you to actually slow your brain down.
Really?
I don't know if that's even possible, but.
Really?
Well, yeah, you started yoga.
So.
Yoga slows your mind down.
It does. I have been doing a lot of yoga. Shout out to Jackie. Been doing a ton of yoga, but I just think this whole, it's been great. And I guess the bright spot for me is as I continue to talk to more and more people, Lindsay, I don't know what your conversations have been with some of your friends, but with some of the people that I speak to, when I speak to them about, you know, what it's been like for me, a lot of them are starting to see the positive side of this pandemic. I think when it first started, everybody was so negative about the time. And I'm just talking about the time. I'm not talking about everything on the outside. I understand, you know, there's people who are out of work, people that are losing businesses. I get that. I'm talking about personally, to be able to have this time to slow things down, reflect, really focus on yourself, focus on your partner, focus on your family, focus on the things that are really, really, really important, and also focus on your business. Like, you know, I mean, we train like every single day. We're always training. But like, to be able to spend this quality time with yourself, I've been able to see a different side of Lindsay. Like, there's a lot of things that
I
learned.
Is it a good side?
No, it's great. I mean, listen, I think that I've learned how to be a better partner for you. Now, maybe you don't think that I've learned that, but for me personally, I think that I've learned to be a better partner for you. You have to
You
have to slow things down. You got to slow things down to see that. So
maybe slow it down a little bit more so we can stop watching the Michael Jordan doc and maybe start watching some of my shows.
Lindsay knows
that. I'm going to slide that in there.
Okay, for our fans, watch. If you follow me on Instagram, you're going to see it. I'm always posting it on my story because I want people to understand that there's a mental preparation.
That you're obsessed.
To your craft. No, whatever you're doing, whatever your profession is, there's a mental preparation to it. And for me, there's a few people that I look at for inspiration in what I do. One of them, obviously everybody knows how I feel about Kobe Bryant. He's always been an inspiration to me. But this Michael Jordan doc for me, and I got to speak to everyone who's probably 30 and below in age because we all never really got to see Michael play and watch
him play. I
never really
got to see him play. I'm 35. I think it's maybe 38,
30,
40. And
okay,
below.
Okay. But I think I speak for all of us millennials, I guess you can say, is that there's nobody like this guy.
No, of course not. I mean, trust me, he's amazing. The documentary is amazing. It's incredibly inspiring. But I think after like five times, I think that's where like maybe we just pause it for a minute?
Okay, well, speaking of docs, your doc is amazing. I watched that a few times. Why don't you talk about what making your documentary was like and how you felt the response was to it? Because I mean, everybody I talk to, people still message me today talking about your doc. Really? Yeah. Oh, all the time.
You tell me that.
Well, I know. I don't want to pump your tires too much.
I mean, a little bit, you know, just a little bit more.
Well, I mean, I do that with kisses every day. So why don't you tell us what, go back into it a little bit. You touched it on it at the start about retirement and what it's been like for you, because I want to touch on it a little bit and what it was like for me the last year of your career. And I haven't talked much about that, but maybe you can talk a little bit about your career.
Yeah, I mean, it was, my career was up and down. You know, I think I had a lot of highs, but the injuries were definitely dramatic. But, you know, it was definitely time to retire. I couldn't physically do it anymore. And I think the transition for me in retirement was very, very difficult. We also moved, you know, to New Jersey kind of not long after retirement. And, you know, being at home alone is very difficult, you know, while you're playing and traveling and in a new place that I didn't have any friends. I mean, I had one friend who lived in Brooklyn, and that was an hour and a half each way.
Who was that friend?
Ashley Graham.
Ashley Grisham, and she was having a child.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's it's not like she can be driving back and forth. She's preggo. So, you know, it was definitely challenging, and I think it was challenging for you because, you know, you didn't know how to cheer me up, but there's, you know, it was a transition. You know, I was extremely depressed, and there's not really, you know, a lot you can do to console an athlete who doesn't have the one thing that they've had their entire lives. You know, like, I've woken up every single day since I was 7 years old with the sole purpose of how can I be a better ski racer? And then one day you wake up and that's gone. So that was a huge challenge for me, but I like being in LA. You know, I think being here helps me. My sister's here, you know, it's just a little bit warmer, which helps my mind. I don't know, for some reason, I've always been in the cold. So for some reason, the warm weather always seems to cheer me up. But yeah, it's been a hard transition, but we are here now and I'm happy and I have a lot going on and a lot of business moves. I'm wheeling and dealing. And I think that new challenge has definitely given me something to look forward to. And obviously outside of what I look forward to with our relationship, but there's a lot of positives that I definitely have in my life and I'm very thankful for. So got to keep that all in mind.
No question. Lindsay, you touched on Ashley being pregnant. You also talked about and spoke about, excuse me, about all the sacrifices and how devoted you've been to your career. I think everybody realizes that with the injuries that you've gone through and how you've come back. And, you know, I know I'm your fiance, but anybody that understands what you have gone through your career knows that that makes you a special individual mentally. But you've devoted a lot of time to your career. You know, you talked about Ashley being pregnancy. Let's talk about pregnancy. Let's talk about that.
Well, and I'm babies. Not pregnant.
No, you're not.
No, I mean, I gave, you know, my whole life to skiing. And I think ideally I would have liked to have kids earlier. But, you know, everyone sacrifices something. And I definitely sacrificed my time. And I'm kind of running out of it as we speak. But, you know, I think that's one thing that's been really great about you is that you've always been supportive. And, you know, as we try to build a family now, you know, I don't know what their future holds, how long it's going to take, you know, what the road may look like. But I'm excited to do it with you.
So am I. Am I ever.
Okay, and we can practice down. Too. Calm it down.
But
calm it down. It's PG-13.
Lindsay, hold on. On the topic of pregnancy, you're coming out with a book soon. Are you going to talk about that in your book or are you going to let that sleep? Like what is going to be the most interesting about your book?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to talk a lot about my career in my book and, you know, how I overcame a lot of the obstacles that I faced both professionally and personally. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, this phase of my life has a lot of things that are challenging, you know, depression, retirement, pregnancy, you know, there's a lot that's happened just in the past 12 months, 16 months. So that'll all be in there. You know, I've got to be finished writing it soon, so I don't know if I'll be pregnant by then, but it'll all be in there.
Do you know when the book's going to come out? Do you have a date for that yet?
I think it's Q1 next year.
Okay.
January 2021.
Well, fans, make sure you follow Lindsay Vaughn on Instagram.
Rise. It'll be on
Twitter.
Amazon.
Rise is the name of the book.
Yes.
It'll be on Amazon.
Rise, My Story.
Okay.
Lindsay Vaughn.
Make sure you guys circle the date on your calendars, Q1.
When's
Lindsay,
your book
you,
coming out?
When's my book coming out? Not for a while. Lindsay, do you have time for a couple more questions? I know you got a tight 1:30. Do you have some time for a couple more questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's two more questions and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
You are a wag. How do you feel about that?
I'm not a wag. I hate that term. I hate the whole, everything
it's
that it encompasses.
Fact.
I hate it.
I'm just, Lindsay, listen to me.
You
I
know
got
what?
A
you're
sheet
a
of paper
hab.
Here.
You're
Hold
a
on.
Hab.
A hab? What's a hab?
Husbands and boyfriends. That's right. Get it through your brain. You're a hab.
Okay, hold on. But Lindsay, let's get into this for a second.
Would you like it if I called you a hab?
Hold on. Hold on. Before you get, let's get into this.
Very
for a second.
Defensive.
I got a couple sheets of paper and there's all facts on here.
Oh, okay.
WAG, what does it stand for?
Wives and girlfriends, as I said.
Okay.
Habs, husbands and boyfriends.
Tell me what you think about that.
I think
meaning.
It's demeaning.
Okay, explain that. Talk
because
about
it groups
it.
Everyone in together, all the wives and girlfriends in one group. And I feel like the general perception of a WAG is someone who is a cheerleader, trails along their husband or boyfriend with their respective careers, and they stay at home and they have babies and that's all they do. And that is not me. I have my own career, I have my own job, as do many of the other wives and girlfriends, but we're all kind of bunched into this stereotype that I really think is disrespectful to women and to myself.
So you are now getting rid of the WAG tag for all females out there that are dating or married to athletes.
Yeah, they're just their wives or their girlfriends. They're not like a WAG. It's just get over it. Most of them started their own businesses. They're all there's so many that are incredibly smart and talented. And I mean, especially on the Devils, you know, I found that that group of women, they're amazing and I have great conversations and there's so much more to them than just the definition of a WAG or the stereotype of a WAG.
I couldn't agree with you more, Lindsay. The reason why I asked you that question is I think that there's a lot of people out there, especially females who are, you know, wives or girlfriends on teams that have gotten to know you over the years. And I always had those conversations with you on the ride home when you're sitting in the stands and fans make comments, you see things on the internet. I think it was just important for everybody to hear your explanation and how you feel about that. So now people know where you stand on the WAGs issue. Lindsay, quickly, former competitors. Let's talk about your skiing career just a tiny bit. Who is the next Lindsay Vaughn?
There isn't a next Lindsay Vaughn because I'm retired. But I'd say I think the person that, you know, is going to kind of take my space on in the place in the speed side is Sofia Goja.
Oh.
She's she won the Olympics actually in Pyeongchang in the downhill when I was third. And she's very, very similar to me. She's, you know, kind of wild and crazy. She has no fear. She trains her ass off in the gym. She's just unapologetically Sofia. And I love that about her. You know, she says whatever she feels on interviews. She's not restricted. She's just, she owns her personality. And I feel like that's so much of her is what I used to do. You know, I was just myself and everyone liked to say that I was very dramatic, but I was just being me, you know, just because I don't, you know, say, you know, the classic boring line doesn't mean that I'm, you know, that I'm dramatic. It just means I have personality. And she has plenty of that, and I'm really excited to see what she does in the future.
So am I. Be yourself. Everyone else is taken. My dad used to tell me that quote all the time. I don't know if it's his, but he surely takes credit for it.
Carl has great quotes.
He's got great quotes.
You should have him on the show.
Maybe we will.
Yeah.
We'll see. Lindsay, last question before we go.
Yeah.
And you and I talk about this all the time. We may even have touched on it earlier on. I'm not 100% sure. But we oftentimes get on Instagram, social media, we get a lot of comments about, oh, man, you guys look so happy. You guys are like, you look so happy all the time. What do you have to say to that? People, you're perfect, Lindsay. Everything looks perfect.
Yeah, I mean, as I said earlier, I think that, you know, we have our own issues. We work on it every day. And whoever says they're perfect is an absolute liar, because there is no such thing as perfection, especially in relationships, you know. I think the relationships that last are the relationships that both people are willing to work hard for their whole lives to make it work. You know, it's a challenge, and there's never it's never easy, no matter how in love you are. So I think in life it only gets more challenging, not less. So you have to have a partner that's willing to take on that challenge with you.
You know what I think, Lindsay?
What?
I think we are perfect for each other.
Yeah. Perfect for each other is so much different than being perfect.
But I think being perfect is us understanding that we're not perfect.
Yeah.
Because when you understand that you're not perfect, when you have disagreements, you're able to show humility. You're able to have accountability, take accountability for your actions. Mm-hmm. I think that's the difference between being in a relationship that's perfect for you and being in a relationship where both people say they're not perfect, but don't have the same actions to back that up. So when you have disagreements in a relationship, I can say to you, Lindsay, I'm not perfect, but if I'm not willing to take accountability or show humility when we have disagreements, then I'm assuming that I'm never wrong. Does that make sense?
Well, you do think you're right a lot, but you're right.
I am right.
I had to throw a jab in
there. I'm right.
A little jab before I just teed you up, and then I...
You did.
And it was a good tee up.
Listen, Lindsay Vonn, thank you for coming on my podcast.
You're welcome.
You are amazing. Thank you for sharing, you know, all your information, insight.
I have a question for you.
You got a question for me? One more question before we go. Wow.
Why did you start this podcast?
Great question. I started this podcast because I have a lot of opinions.
I know that. Yes. Yeah.
But I also think it's fair that, listen, what I look forward to in this world is bringing people together. I always want to bring people together, whether it's around sports, whether it's around business, whether it's around friends, family, whatever it is, I believe in the collective and bringing people together. And on this podcast, we're going to talk a lot about philanthropic work, community stuff, business, sports, entertainment, and we're hoping that we can have some of the most successful people in their professions come on and give us the insight and the background of, number one, how they got to where they got to, what's going on in their profession, and also give information to the audience and the fan base that they can take for the rest of their lives. That is what I'm doing. At 31 years old, I feel that, and I'm hoping, and I hope my audience feels the same way, that I can get people to come on to give us information that they wouldn't normally get on TV or watching their social media or their platform. That's the goal. And ultimately, obviously, I'm still in my playing career. So to be able to give my hockey fans a dose of, you know, PK's view on what's going on in the NHL as well and the world of sports, I think they'll find value in that.
Are you happy that you're not playing right now?
No, I'd much rather be playing for the Stanley Cup. But
you're happy to be with me, right?
Oh, 100%.
That was a tee up.
Lindsay Vonn, ladies and gentlemen, 82 World Cup victories, couple Olympic medals, and the best smile in the world. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Is that now on my resume?
Pardon me?
It's now going to be on my resume.
What? The best smile in the world?
Best smile in the world, yeah.
Well, definitely. If I'm writing your resume, it's on there. Thanks for coming on the show, babe. Thank you to my guest, the beautiful, lovely, and freaking smart, the amazing Lindsay Vonn. Check out all things Lindsay Vonn on her Instagram, Twitter, all social media, Facebook. She's a great follow, trust me. Be sure to check back next week for another episode of the Ugly Duck Podcast. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Leave your reviews on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you can stream the show. This is the Subinator, and the Subinator is out.